Such a joy for me to go through Philippians with you, and I hope that you're sharing some of the same joy as well. Last time we did look at this command to rejoice in all situations, and so we're going to read those verses again and then read the two verses that we're going to be focusing on this morning. So we'll read through that right now. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9 is what we'll read right now. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Something I've noticed that we don't do as much after being married a number of years is something we'd say to each other when we were first married, a penny for your thoughts, when things were a little quiet. We'd say, a penny for your thoughts. I guess today you'd say a nickel for your thoughts, inflation. And so you're thinking, have you ever thought about your thoughts? Do you ever do some thinking about your thinking? I wonder if there's any way that you could count the number of thoughts that go through your brain. In fact, I'm wondering what you're thinking right now. Thoughts are going through our head all the time. And what kind of thoughts? How would you characterize your thinking, your thoughts? Something you like, you don't like? And another question, your thoughts, your thinking, are they Christian thoughts, Christian thinking? Is there such a thing? We're told in Scripture in a number of places that God also is interested in and addresses our thoughts, our thinking. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. That's the focus in this part of Philippians, these verses 8 and 9, which talk about and speak to our thinking. And what I'm going to do, and you'll see that here in the outline, first we're going to see the description of the kinds of thoughts that we're to have as Christians, and we're just going to quickly go through each word to describe each of those characteristics of our thinking. And in order to stay engaged, to help you stay engaged, I'm going to ask you to say each word with me when we look at it. And so you'll see in verse 8 that the first word, it says, brothers and sisters, whatever is, say it with me. True. True. This is the opposite of lies, and that's the blank in the outline there. True, opposite of lies. What does that mean? Lies, what kind of lies? Well, let me give you the kind of example of this, the kind of thing that can happen. When afterwards we're kind of visiting and getting our goodies and coffees or whatever you're drinking, and then you want to talk with somebody and you see them over on the other side of the room, and you see them, and you're going to go to them and talk to them, and they take off, go the other way. You can't talk to them. Now, at this point, you can conjure up a lot of things in your head. What's the matter? Don't they want to talk to me? Do they hate me? These are the kinds of thoughts that can go through our head. You're just creating things in our minds, not matching reality. We're to stay true, keep true thoughts, things that we know are true. And other lies, you can lie to yourself, about yourself. I don't know if you're one of these kind of people that beats on yourself. I'm no good, nobody loves me, nobody would want me, etc. Lies, not true. Because biblical picture, from God's point of view, you are a valuable person that he's created special. He loves you so much that he's willing to die for you. That's true. Your thinking needs to match reality. It's to be true, not lies or speculation. Okay, then finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is, say it with me, noble. Noble. I like that one the best. That's why I've entitled the sermon the Noble Thoughts. This is the kind of idea that if you were to look in my brain and hear or see my thoughts, that you would respect them. We all have these people that we respect. You can just imagine the person. I imagine somebody right now that I respect and still respect very much, the way they act, the way they treat others. When they're tired and they just want to go home and rest, but somebody needs help, you can count on them. They're going to help you. That's a noble person, the way they act, the way they talk, but also the way they think. If you could read the thoughts and minds of somebody that's thinking noble thoughts, you would respect those thoughts. They're the kinds of things that would be thinking well of people. The way that you think about even your competition, that they're thinking well of them. Noble thoughts. Okay, so the next one. Okay, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is, say it with me, right. Right. A lot of these words kind of repeat themselves, but they have a little different nuance. Whatever is right is the idea, does it improve life? My life, your life. Let me give you an example. You've had an argument with somebody and you're just thinking negative thoughts all the time. Well, if you run that argument through your head again and again and you think of the choice words you could tell that person, that's negative thinking. That's not the right way. It's not improving your life. It's not improving their life. It affects the way you act. Instead, you think of things that will improve a relationship. What are some kind things you could say to the person? Try to imagine that and try to think those kinds of thoughts. That's thinking in the right way, something that would improve your life, their life. Here's another one. Whatever's true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is, say it with me, pure. Pure. It's like the word right, but it's something where you have a clear conscience, where it's pure, clean thoughts, put it that way. Let me illustrate it with the next slide here, where it shows a picture of a wedding picture. Do you have that one there? And yeah, okay. There's just everything good and nice about a picture like that. When you look at a picture like that, you think, you're not thinking dark thoughts, you're just thinking pleasant thoughts, pure thoughts, clean, beautiful thoughts. That's the idea here. Don't think all these dark things, just think of things that are clean, pure, beautiful. Okay, let's go back to verse 8 again. Whatever's true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is, say it with me, lovely, lovely. That's the sense that it's pleasant, pleasant, not harsh. Pleasant ways of thinking. Let me give you an example. Once in a while, something triggers in our heads memories of your childhood. And when you were a child, what was life like? Well, sometimes, well, most all of us have memories of our childhood which are not pleasant. There are some not pleasant memories, and there's good ones. A concrete example of focusing on the pleasant ones is about a week and a half ago, I think it was, got a text from one of my sisters and all of us siblings, sent to all of us siblings and some of our spouses. Today, if Mom were still living, she would turn 90 years old. That was a week and a half ago. Now, there have been times when we've had our sibling reunions where we talked about the bad memories we had of our mother. There have been a lot of tears shed. It was some really tough memories. So here we go. Today, Mom would have turned 90 years old. What direction are our thoughts going? Right away, I jumped onto it, and I wrote, "Root beer floats, anyone?" My mom loved root beer floats, only certain kinds of root beer floats. A&W, anything else is artificial, only A&W, and it's hard ice cream, not soft ice cream. Now, okay, you can see where all of a sudden we just interacted about all those kind of memories we had. Pleasant thoughts, pleasant memories. We deliberately focused only on the positive memories. That's the call here, to have these memories or these thoughts that are lovely, to focus only on them. Okay. Let's see, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and whatever is, say it with me, admirable. Admirable. Kind of like these other ones, but it's the idea of being smooth, not crude. Somebody did you wrong? Have you ever thought about how you're going to get revenge? Just thinking about that? That is not admirable. This is, instead of seeking revenge, discipline your mind to think thoughts, okay, what can I do good for them? I'm going to only think of things. I'm going to be the hero here. I'm going to compliment them. I'm going to do something good for them, and I'm going to plan that in my mind. Those are the kind of thoughts to have in your head. You're getting a picture here. All these words put together to be noble, admirable, lovely, pure, right thoughts. This is the call that's given here. Okay. Now we're going to go through this list again, and the next two words we're going to say together, okay? So whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and now let's say the next two words together, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Notice the shift. The shift is this. If I were to read your thoughts, how would I evaluate them? Would they be noble? Would they be good? Would they be pure? If you were to lay your thoughts out for everybody to see, what kind of thoughts would they be? Here's the shift in these two words. We shift it to the Lord. Lord, we want these thoughts to meet your standards. We want you to, oh Lord, and here's the blank in the outline, that the Lord approves, that the Lord would look at them and say, those are very good, excellent thoughts. They are like praise before my throne. The Lord also would admire these thoughts. And that's what we'd want more than anything else, that the Lord would give his approval. Okay. What a packed verse that is, verse 8. What I'm going to do right now is push the pause button, and I want to reflect on what do we do with these bad thoughts that come into our brain? Because they come. You've had it. Talking about communion, I remember a minister once saying, one time I was serving communion, all of a sudden blasphemous thoughts came through my head. That kind of thing can happen. So what happens when just some random thought comes through there and you know it's not a good, healthy thought? You take care of it right away. You don't feed it. You don't keep it going. Because sometimes a negative thought can go through your head and keep circulating again and again and again. You lose sleep and you become a grouchy person. What you do is you replace those thoughts with other good thoughts. Let me give you an example of this. I've noticed that I've used my father-in-law as an example once quite often, but here's another one. My father-in-law, once in a while, will say, if I listen to the news and I get kind of this news that just makes me not feel good, and I just don't like to think of it. Or we ask him, do you ever think about your first wife or your second wife? And he'll say, yeah, but it gets kind of sad that he's lost both of them. Do you know what he does if he notices negative thoughts going through his head? He'll go sit in his chair in the living room and look at the coffee table. On the coffee table are a whole bunch of pictures. You got a picture here, our family picture here. here's our family picture. I think that's a good looking group. All right. Our children and our grandchildren. Included on his coffee table, it's packed full of pictures. This is one of his pictures. When he's been watching the news and he turns off the news because of all this negative stuff, when he has some sad memories that come to his mind, he just sits and looks at pictures like this. He doesn't look at me and Barb very much. He looks at his grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, thinking about who they are, what are they doing, what are the kinds of things they say. He deliberately replaces his thinking with pleasant, good thinking. He nips it in the bud because negative thoughts can grow like cancer. That can be what happens. Okay, we can blank that slide out now. Okay, so one of the things we do with negative thoughts is let's replace them right away, as quickly as we can, and maybe focus on something else. But also, we have to be careful of what comes from the outside into our head. I call it something that pollutes your mind. That's, I think, the blank there. Yeah, pollutes your mind. where do you get input into your brain? One of the things that is input into people's brains today is social media And you have that social media slide there. All right. I don't know. Oh, yeah, it's a little blurry here, but you'll recognize many of these social media. And I don't know if, it's a little dated. You see that third one there? It says Twitter, the bird. You know, it's supposed to be X now, all right? Okay. If you go on those, it's very easy to go into dark places and to have a bunch of venom coming into your brain. Can you see it? These kinds of things just come right into your brain and can pollute it. What you may need to do is put it aside for a while, or just block out certain inputs that are coming across there and coming into your head. Deliberately put them aside so that they don't influence you and pollute you. Remember a number of years ago, many years ago, I was with one of my relatives, and we were watching a television program which was kind of iffy, and then the advertising confirmed that this isn't really good stuff. So I said to my relative, I don't think we should be watching this. I don't think this is good for us. You know what he said? Doesn't affect me. And I first wanted to say right away, baloney. But I got to thinking about it. Are there things like advertising or this social media you can say, doesn't affect me? Don't fool yourself. Let me give you a couple of illustrations on that. Many years ago, I was talking with a young couple that was going through a rocky time in their marriage. And at one point, one of them said, I don't know whether to follow my head or follow my heart. I asked them right away, have you been listening to country music? It sounds like the thing country music would say, I don't know whether to follow my head or follow my heart. And they said, yeah, we were listening to it on the way here. Guess what my assignment was for them? Quit listening to country music. Beautiful music, lyrics can be trashy. One other example of how we can be affected by that kind of input. You want to go to the next slide? That is, okay, it'll take a little while to read this, but this is Super Bowl 58. That was earlier this year, Super Bowl 58. I don't know if you watched it or not, but the Kansas City Chiefs won over the San Francisco 49ers in overtime. Quite a game. Okay. At halftime, for a 30-second ad on television, do you know how much that cost? Just for 30 seconds, a half minute, over $7 million. $7 million. As these executives are making plans for the advertising for 30 seconds during halftime of the Super Bowl, do you think they believe my relative saying, doesn't affect me? They know full well it affects him. Otherwise, they wouldn't dish out $7 million just for 30 seconds. We are affected by all this kinds of input. I think it's time that sometimes we may occasionally need to get angry in a good way and just say, I'm tired, world, of you polluting my brain and controlling my thoughts. And you could almost see the personality behind all that input. It's Satan himself. We need to say, we not only need to deal with the thoughts that come into our mind all unexpectedly and replace it with something good, but also keep it from being polluted. More positively, let's go back to verse 8 again. How do we do this, all this positive? We deliberately engage in things that are good for us. What we read, we choose things that affect our mind with good things. We engage in activities, our hobbies and so on, are things that will keep our minds pleasant. We deliberately go that direction. Let me give you another example or illustration from the sports time. And this is concerning Major League Baseball, starting into the postseason. All professional players, including baseball players, will go through a slump. And just for a while, they're just not hitting good. There's a tendency of some to say, okay, I'm going to look at all the videos and recordings of what I'm doing wrong. And I'm going to analyze, what am I doing wrong? What's my posture, et cetera, et cetera. Look at that to try and correct it. They discovered that doesn't work very well. Do you know what works instead? They look at videos and recordings of when they were at the height, when they were hitting real well. And they analyze that. They look at that carefully. How do you approach the batter's box? What's your stance? How are you looking at the pitcher and the ball? Every little detail. Look at what you've been doing good. And that influences your game. So it is with our thinking. Deliberately focus on things that are pleasant, that would create good, pleasant thoughts. Okay. I'm going to do the unpause button now. Going back to our text. Let's go to verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Here it is again. Paul does it again. He says, imitate, here's a blank, mature Christians. Sometimes that's the only way to do it. When I was going through college in Northwest Iowa, I worked part-time at a hog packing plant. I don't know if any of you worked at a place like that, but at a hog packing plant, the language of the guys was not always good. The air would get pretty blue there sometimes, make truck drivers blush sometimes. All right. I noticed something. When I'd get home and I would do something and I was frustrated, I wouldn't necessarily say it, but those words went through my head. Wasn't good for me. Paul is saying here to the Philippians, just after addressing their thought life, he says, imitate people like me and other mature Christians. It's good to hang around people that have a positive influence on you. Not just by the way they act, but the things that they say, it tells what they're thinking. And that rubs off. That helps create good, positive thinking. So that is a goal we have. To try and be with people that are good for you. That not only live right, but talk right and think right. But now notice the last phrase. And the God of peace will be with you. That's powerful. Because just before these two verses was verse 7. Let me recite it to you. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the peace of God guarding your mind. Here he's saying, think good, noble thoughts, excellent, praiseworthy thoughts. Hang around people that will help you with that. And the God of peace will be with you. Your thoughts and your thinking isn't just something you're doing by yourself. It involves other people. It involves God Himself. And what that means is that when we are getting these junky thoughts, we just give them to God and we say, God, by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleanse me of those thoughts and replace them. Guard my mind. Guide my thoughts. This is what we need to do too. And so what I'd like to do at this time is to go through what some have called a guided prayer. And so what I'd like you to do is anything that you have in your hand that is going to be distracted for you, just lay it down for a minute. And we're going to close our hearts, close our eyes, and we're just going to settle our hearts in God's presence. And could I ask you just to let God see your thoughts? The thoughts you've had in the past, the thoughts you've been having now, and just give it to Him. And we trust you, O God, just to take away those thoughts that are unpleasant, that would not honor you. And now we ask, O God, give us the spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us His mind, His way of thinking. Guide our thoughts, channel our thoughts in ways that are good and healthy and honoring to you. We need you, O God, even when we're thinking. In Jesus, your Son's name, we pray. Amen.